Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to the Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 611. I am your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox Penthouse. My trusty sidekick, the three-legged kitty cat, Agent Fox Mulder, is laying by my side. He has eaten a meal within the last half hour, so maybe he's going to be a bit docile, because he's got a little meat in the belly. Again, a little lunch meat with his dry food. I mean, just a teensy bit. Although maybe he's got a taste for the meat. Now he's going to start freaking out and bite into my leg or something. I am recording this on May the 4th. That is Star Wars Day, of course. As I haven't really done much Star Wars related shit today. It's, you know, like noon right now. You know, possibly I'll have to watch some Star Wars tonight, though. I do have all my Star Wars shit on the desk, which is on the desk every fucking day. I got my Star Wars, what are they considered, a babushka doll, for the nesting doll, of course, with Darth Vader on the outside, Yoda, Obi-Wan Kenobi, then it's Luke Skywalker and R2-D2 in there. And I got a few Boba Fett things on the desk, of course. And, yeah, I mean, I'm pretty excited to see the new show, The Acolyte, which I wish came out today. They've got, there's the Star Wars show that came, the Tales of the Empire, the animated show or whatever, on Disney Plus. That I'd like to watch, but I'm, you know, I don't get that excited over the animated stuff. I mean, I watch it. I've just finished The Bad Batch, which the last episode was, I guess, this week of The Bad Batch. And, I mean, I'll watch, of course, The Tales of the Empire. I wish Acolyte, though, the live-action show, was coming out right now, but it's not. Gotta wait another month. It's June 4th, if I'm not mistaken, that one's coming out. So it's been a minute since we've had a live action Star Wars show. It's been a minute. I guess Andalorian would have been the last live action one, if I'm not mistaken. Andor, or was it Mando season 3? I want to say Ant. Either way, one of those two. It's been a while. Or Ahsoka. Shit, I don't even remember what the last one to come out was. As, still a damn shame that we won't have, of course, like the one of the main villains in Ahsoka returning, as at least, you know, the actor that played him is dead, Ray Stevens. The late great. But yeah, Star Wars Day, man. Star Wars. I remember way back in the 2019 pre-pandemic days, pre-COVID. I of course was in unintentionally. I hadn't thought about it when I booked the trip, but I was in Russia for Star Wars Day, and also their Victory Day Parade, or whatever the fuck they call it, which, again, I was not thinking about that. I did not really know that much about them having the parade around that time in Russia. It's a big parade that they celebrate the defeat of Nazi Germany. And that was a little awkward, me being around, you know, for parade involving the Russian military, where they had tanks like rolling down the street and shit. I didn't witness the tanks. I just kind of went out during the day. And I was like, I felt like all the Russian military were staring at me. Not that I am, you know, like in a military or a CIA or anything like that. It's just being a foreign country by myself, a foreign country that, you know, we don't have the greatest relationship with. It hadn't declined nearly as far because they hadn't had the full-scale invasion of Ukraine yet. But they had already invaded Ukraine in 2014. So, I mean, there was some awkwardness at that point, shall we say. But that happened to be the time that I was in, of course, Russia during Star Wars Day. And that's when I, of course, got the Star Wars nesting doll. And it was coincidentally Peter Mayhew, the actor that played, of course, Chewbacca, had died that week. I don't remember. I don't think it was on Star Wars Day. I'm not sure exactly what day he died. But, like, knowing that, I was like, oh, man, I got to go. I saw this, and it was Star Wars related there. I was like, I got to do something Star Wars related. But, yeah. I don't know where I was going with that. I am looking forward to The Acolyte, though. I'm looking forward to shows and movies and stuff in the Star Wars vein that, of course, delve into different time periods that, you know, we haven't really seen yet. As, you know, most of the stuff is in the... I want to see, like, the older stuff, like the... I'm not sure when exactly the High Republic era is where the Acolyte is in. But I've heard rumors and such that they're going to have either a series or movies involved in the birth of, like, the Jedi, of that era. And, man, there's a lot of old Sith that would be fantastic to see, like, on the big screen, as it were, or the small one would be fantastic. But I really need a Star Wars movie in the theaters. I know the Mandalorian movie, which the season 3 was a letdown. But to be fair, I mean, I can understand how production was really hard, shall we say, on the Mandalorian, and I'm not talking like a rock hard cock kind of way. I'm talking about, you know, I mean, this was filmed in the pandemic era and whatnot. Shit had to be thrown around. They had a lot of issues going into putting that season out. And had it, you know, been put out at a different time, I feel like, because the first two seasons of Mandalorian, fucking amazing. Third one, not so great. It had its moments, though. It had its moments. I mean, you got Giancarlo Esposito as Moff Gideon, which is fantastic. And, of course, he gets his big fight at the end there. Which I love Giancarlo. But, I mean, overall, in the season was a bit of a letdown. The Mandalorian movie, I'm excited for that. I want to see a big budget. I want to see them just tossing all kinds of money into the Mandalorian. You know, Pedro Pascal, big fan. Of course, I have not seen Last of Us. I need to get around to seeing that, but I don't have Max, which is funny. HBO, I don't have that. It's always going to be HBO to me, calling it Max. Makes me think of Skinamax, you know, which I don't even know if Cinemax is still a thing, but... I remember early baiting days, you know, the early days of baiting for me, which pre-streaming porn on the internet, you know, you had to have the VHS player and record shit off Skinamax for baiting material purposes, you know. It was an early, it's early youth. I would record shit off Skinamax. The softcore porn, as it was. And then, you know, you'd have to rewind and fast forward and stuff to get to the parts that you really felt like baiting to back then. But that's unrelated to Star Wars. and what have you. And Pedro Pascal being on The Last of Us. I hear Last of Us is really good. I mean, yeah, I think everybody's heard that at this point. So I can't compare how good of a video game adaptation like Fallout is comparison to Last of Us, which neither games have I really played much either. So I can't really tell you like the differences from the show to the movie or the show to the game, whatever. But yeah, I think the Mandalorian, I am excited to see that in the theaters. I've also heard that George Lucas is going to be working on a show. And if I remember correctly, it was rumored that whatever he's involved in, whether it be a show or movie, is like the beginning of the Jedi. How that all transpired. Which, you know, there's a lot of people that hate on George Lucas these days, but he is the guy that created Star Wars. He created the universe. He is the creator, the almighty in Star Wars world. And it wouldn't be in existence if it wasn't for the man. And, you know, I think it'd be great to see George Lucas put some more stuff in there. I mean, you know, I love what a lot of what Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau have done, but and I'm just been, you know, excited to watch these all these live action shows. You know, not all of them are the greatest, but there's some really good stuff. I mean, Andor, I mean, there's fantastic stuff. I don't know how long Disney's going to keep putting it out. From what I understand, maybe they're not making so much money off of it. But, I mean, Mandalorian put Disney Plus on the map. It wouldn't have gone off quite like it did if not for The Mandalorian. Grogu, you know. Built the House of the Mouse. It's House of Baby Yoda. Nowadays. Yeah, other than being, I mean, actually tomorrow, of course, is Cinco de Mayo. Fun fact, when I'm going to be publishing this episode, putting it out into the world on Cinco de Mayo. Which, you know, there was, I don't remember the history of that. It's just, I know Americans just, go out and get drunk that day, drink margaritas, and do stupid things like I blacked out in Cinco de Mayo 07 and may or may not have done really stupid shit, but I've talked about in the past. I don't feel like going down that road again. If I did anything fucked up that night, and if I need to apologize, I am sorry. I don't know what. There's at least an hour there when I cannot account for everything I did out in the public. I don't think I did anything real crazy, but you never know. You know, it's like somebody had the keys to your body, and there's just no way of knowing what exactly transpired. I know I got sick, so I'm imagining I probably didn't do anything too fucked up. Just being drunk and like, oh, fuck, I don't feel so well. I'm assuming. Anyway, yeah, that's what the they're celebrating actually is. Mexico defeating the French in battle, some battle. But now we just drink margaritas and get stupid drunk, which is just what Americans turn every holiday into, you know. Like St. Patrick's Day, you know. Of course, the holiday I was born on is just a reason for Americans to get drunk. Forget about the snakes. Which just refers to the Celts. Like, not actual literal snakes. Because I don't think snakes have ever been really in Ireland. I don't know. There was, St. Patrick didn't go around collecting snakes, like literal snakes, and get them out of Ireland. I digress. When leading into the show, I was just going on a YouTube binge of drumming, and I'm not a huge Slipknot fan. I like some Slipknot stuff, especially like the early stuff. And I really respect the drumming of, you know, like Joey Jordison. Jay Weinberg's great. I think Joey's better, but like, I mean, Jay Weinberg, I mean, he's fucking Max Weinberg's son, which I love that. Which is Max Weinberg. I know he's the drummer for the E Street Band, of course. Springsteen's E Street Band. Which, I'm not, I don't hate the boss. But, you know, I could care less that he's the drummer of the E Street Band. What I care about, of course, is, you know, he was the drummer forever for Conan on Late Night with Conan O'Brien. And Max was great on there. And I may have talked about this a podcast or two ago, but if you haven't seen The Hot Ones with Conan O'Brien, holy hell, it's one of the funniest things I've seen on the internet in quite some time. It's fucking hilarious. If you're a fan of Hot Ones, Conan, of course, the whole, I mean, he is going balls out during that. He is drinking some of the, I think several of the hot sauces. And he's like, rubbing hot sauce on his nipples and everything. And he's like, you know, acting like it's not affecting him. You can see his eyes are just completely bloodshot. And then he's just dying inside. But he is just going balls out, man. Balls out. It's fucking hilarious. There's one point he says, I haven't had an erection this hard or something along the lines of I haven't had an erection this hard since or for 15 years or something. Call the wife! It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. And of course, he had a guy go in there and pretend to be his doctor, Dr. Arroyo. Keeps checking his pulse and everything. Fantastic. Yeah, that's why, you know, the connection there with Jay. I mean, I love the fact that it's Max Weinberg's kid. That's fantastic. But holy shit, their new drummer for Slipknot, of course, Eloy Casagrande, which I believe he pronounces. He's from Brazil. He's the former drummer of Sepultura. And holy shit, that guy's on another fucking level, man. I've been listening to just all kind, because there's new video out now. I guess they've done a couple of shows with Eloy. I believe he actually pronounces his last name Casagrande, but I could be wrong on that. I'm not Brazilian. Knowledge of the Spanish language isn't that great, and I don't know how, you know, different they pronounce things in Brazil. which I probably mispronounced that horribly as I tried to pronounce it the way they do. holy fuck. I mean, if you just like drumming, Eloy, of course, has his own YouTube channel as well. And fucking fantastic. There's a great video that, El Estepario Cibriano, which, I've talked about several times on the podcast, he's put out a video talking about how Eloy's the greatest drummer in the world. I think he's correct on this. Yes. Holy fucking shit. I mean, if you just listen, you know, there's a lot of musicians, I guess, in general, not just drummers. But you can hear, like, a big difference when it's them playing the song. Just the, I mean, holy fuck, Eloy is, you know, sure, some of it is the kit that's being used. There's different sounds and drums, like, holy fucking shit. I mean, the power, the speed, holy fucking shit. It is definitely a different world. I mean, he is doing some crazy shit. And it's just, And Jay Weinberg, don't get me wrong. Oh, shit. Oh, I got to pause the podcast here. I'm getting a phone call. Oh, so it may just seem like a second that I just took a phone call, but hours have passed since I took that phone call. I ended up having to help the old roommate Jackman. Ended up helping him move some furniture for his sister. I would have finished doing this firsthand, but it is supposed to storm, so I wanted to help make sure I helped him do that before, you know, shit. Didn't want the furniture to get rained on. He had it on the trailer already, and so I helped him do that. It wasn't too bad. We weren't sure if we were going to be able to fit it in there. Her apartment had a very narrow staircase, and just we're not sure if the couch was going to fit going through there, but it wasn't too bad. One of the easiest moving jobs I've actually helped in. Like, the couch and the left seat both very light. And for me to try to remember what I was talking about, you know, several hours ago, a little difficult. I know I was talking about Eloy Casagrande. I got jacked on it before. I wanted to get my energy back up because now the monster is starting to leave the system, as it's been hours since I've had the monster. And so I went back and I listened to some more Eloy right before hitting record again. Or actually, unpause. I just had it on pause. So I got some more Eloy, and holy fucking shit. I just can't. Since I've been watching it, though, this last week, like, videos of Eloy, which I'd seen a little bit of him before, because I saw El Estepario Cibriano talk about him before. So I'd seen little clips of him, but I hadn't really watched full performances until, like, this week, I suppose, and really just getting into it, because now that Slipknot has done a few shows with him now, you can see that. And of course, he's got his own YouTube channel, and you can see him do full-on songs up close and personal. He has a few Slipknot, I guess you'd call them covers, because at that point he was not a member of the band. It was 3 years ago, but he's just fucking destroying it. Holy hell, that guy hits like a motherfucker. I mean, that and just looking at, I mean, the fucking power he puts into each strike on those drums, man, is just insane. And he's a stout guy. I mean, he's just a beast. I don't think he's very tall, but man, he is ripped, and you can tell he is just giving it all his full effort, like landing each fucking each time he hits that fucking drum head with the stick, man. It's just fucking so much force coming down, and it is I mean, you feel it. And makes me almost want to make some bad decisions and buy an electronic drum set that is way too expensive that I can't afford. I don't think my neighbors would appreciate that a whole. I like with the electronic drum set, though. You know, it's not an acoustic drum set, but I'm still beating things. And if I start watching videos of Eloy here and try to pull that off, if I hit half as hard as he does, I'm sure my neighbors would hate me. Because holy fuck, I mean, he is. I'm sure if he played an electronic drum set, it would sound like a normal person playing an acoustic drum set. I mean, he is pounding that. I thought Dave Grohl hit hard. No. Dave Grohl, don't get me wrong, I love Dave Grohl. Fantastic drummer. He can't compete here with Eloy. That is just some crazy shit, dude. I mean, it is crazy. I would play some like fills in here, but I have an issue with a cord for running to my laptop, and it's got a short end, and I had to order some before doing the show, actually, some new cords, so hopefully I can run the audio while I'm recording again. That'd be great. Fantastic. Which, actually, the beginning, I normally play the song when I'm doing the intro. I have the music bed I'm playing live while I'm going Now I'm going to have to edit and post, put that in underneath after the fact, which threw me off my game a little bit, but I was pretty jacked on Monster. Now I got People Equals Shit just like blaring through my head, and it's pretty fantastic. I just shared it with Jackman, actually. He's, of course, not a sloucher drummer himself. He doesn't play a whole lot these days, but, man, he used to be a pretty damn good drummer. And he's a fan of Slipknot. He's a big into metal. Of course, that was his bands were metal bands. And he wasn't real crazy about the Jay Weinberg era. We had discussed Slipknot, and he hadn't heard of the new drummer yet, so I sent him a video of him doing People Equal Shit, and he's like, damn. Dude is a fucking beast, man. Fucking goddamn. I just can't get that shit out of my head. It's like a shot of adrenaline. Like, listen to Aloy. It's just bam, straight to the vein, man. It's Pulp Fiction up in here, getting that shot of adrenaline straight into the heart. Just big ass needle, just wah. It makes me I've almost been afraid to go to like Slipknot shows in the past, you know, just because it can get a little hectic, getting wild, you know. But I mean, that hearing Aloy play is just like, holy fuck, I'd love to see that fucking live. Like, that is just fucking madness. And the kind of stamina he has to have to fucking just for one song to keep that shit up is like insane. But to know that, you know, I mean, he's a touring fucking musician that, you know, a Slipknot show, I'm not sure how typically long a normal Slipknot show is, but it's got to be well over an hour, if not, you know, like 2 to 3 hours. They got a long discography. There's a lot of shit to go through, you know. It's a big production, a Slipknot show. So I would imagine, you know, some show, I would imagine a lot of their, you know, like the small show, the first one they did, that one was only like an hour. But I would venture to guess that there's, you know, even just an hour, I mean, going at that fucking, that high intensity is just fucking mind-boggling to me. It's fantastic. It's just, with all the negativity that's out in the world, all the war that's going on and the, you know, genocide and what have you, it's good to have a little shot of pure adrenaline from a great drummer. You know, music's always, it's just good for the soul. Before recording earlier, I had a few ideas, I guess, just to talk, and I'm just like, just listening to Aloy is just like, that's all I can think about is just those drum fills, man. Fucking madness. Yeah. So, anything else new? So far, the furnace is working all right, the HVAC unit. Haven't had to really use the heat since getting it in there because it's been fucking hot. AC working like a charm, though. It is really nice to be able to, even though the app's not really involved, but I don't know how involved you'd really need it to be just to control the temperature in your house. But it is super nice to be able to pull up, because I did it right as I started recording again here. Pull up on my phone, drop the temperature a little bit, because it's a little warm in here, because it's fucking 80-something degrees outside. And it was nice to cool it down just a hair. As I guess the mainly new stuff that had been going on, I mean, I've just been playing a lot of video games. As I've mentioned in the past several weeks, I didn't play that much Diablo 4 this week, but I've definitely played a lot of the Final Fantasy 7, a lot of that. And I was, one note I was kind of disappointed in, which I got to say, the first remake, although when the first part of the Final Fantasy VII remake hit, just happened to coincide when all the lockdowns happened in 2020. And I had like, what, at least a month, if not more, where I was only working like every other day. And so I was working, you know, some weeks like 2 days, some weeks 3 days. It was not getting a whole lot of hours of work in, which sucked because I didn't have much money because of that. But it didn't last terribly long, and I didn't have the amount of bills that I have now. So, but because of that, I was able to invest a fuck ton of time into Final Fantasy VII, and it's great. It was great. I'm enjoying the rebirth, but it's not hitting me quite as hard as, like, say, Aloy. One big downside, which I was wondering how they were going to work. I mean, the whole thing. The first part of the remake just evolved around Midgar City. And they just kind of extended that from the original game. And so there was a lot less stuff that they had to develop, you know, as far as there was no chocobo racing, or I don't think there was any riding of a chocobo at all in the first part of the remake. There was no traversing a very large world, which was a part of, you know, a big part of the original, where you get the chocobos and then you feed the chocobos, capture the chocobos. You have to capture them in certain areas, give them different types of greens and everything to get like a mountain chocobo or a river chocobo and whatnot. And the chocobo thing's a bit different. The part that I was so far kind of saddened about that they changed a little bit, which, I mean, they got to change things a bit. As it's a much different type of game now than the original. But in the original Final Fantasy VII, there's the part when you first have to get a chocobo. There's a swampland you got to cross. And there's the name of this creature. See, I don't remember. See here, it is the originally. Oh, they do. It looks like they have different names for it originally, as opposed to. I guess the original name of it was Midgar Zolom. And in the original game, that thing was a fucking beast, man. Unless you somehow magically max leveled your guys, which would take forever through Midgar. But it's like as soon as you get out of Midgar, which you're not that high of a level. There was just no way to beat it with that low of a level when you hit that snake. So if you cross the swamp land without a chocobo, you had to fight this fucking thing. And it was insanely, it's just impossible until you like max leveled your fucking characters pretty much. You know, if you fight it later in the game, like at the end, you can take her down. But fighting it on a low level, not so much. But you end up this on the new version, on the rebirth, it's called the, it's all one word now. It's Midgar Guard. There's a D in there at the end instead of Midgar Zolom. It's Midgard Sorimer? Midgard Sorimer. I don't know why they changed it. Yeah, this is what TheGamer.com says about it. It says, if you're a fan of the classic Final Fantasy VII, then you might know this one by its originally translated name, which that's probably, I guess that's why it kind of fucks with it, because, you know, it's a translation of the Japanese, where in the original way they translated it, it was Midgar Zolom. And if so, it might be tough to accept that it was always supposed to be Midgard Sormerer. But if you fixate on this over long, then its boss fight in Final Fantasy VII Rebirth will get the best of you. In fact, it isn't hard for Midgard Sormerer to get the best of you, whether you embrace its name or otherwise. The bane of many a swamp goer in FF7 is back with a vengeance, and to stay it in style. Stick to our guide. Yeah, this is just a guide. No? It's beatable, you know? You don't... the original, I mean, you could not fucking beat that fucker. unless you just fucking leveled the motherfucker. Whereas now, apparently, it's... you can beat it the first time you fight it, which is a bit sad. But you had the classic image from the original where Sephiroth killed the thing, put it on a spear, like all Vlad Tepes style, just impaled that fucker. Like it was nothing. Sephiroth is just like, bitch, hold my beer. I got this. And which... I guess technically in the rebirth, you don't technically beat it because after you fight it, which, I mean, you have to win the fight. You can't just lose and that be it. Sephiroth does kill the fucking snake. As, but I feel like it should have been more of a challenge. Like, but I am excited to get a little bit further. I feel like I'm still fairly early in the game. I mean, I just ran into Midgar Sturmerer. Zillimer. Zillimer. I just beat the snake. But I think, you know, it's going to get better once I get to, like, say Vincent and get some more of the more characters. Sid, the pilot of the Highwind. Get that shit going on. And then I'm excited to see what they do with Golden Saucer. Like, I haven't been looking up any of the stuff ahead to, like, really spoil it for me. So I'm just, you know, seeing as it comes. I'm trying not to look up too many strategies about stuff. Definitely not in advance. I don't want to ruin the game for me, you know? So I have just still such a love for the original Final Fantasy VII. And it's, yeah, I don't want to ruin it. Even though, like, I'm not full on into it. I haven't devoted a whole lot of time each time I play. I'm still playing Call of Duty more than anything else. And side note, I've been just destroying it on Call of Duty with the Tomfa sticks. Meleeing the fuck out of people. Just, maybe it's because I've been watching Eloy Casagrande and being just in crazy, like, listening to him drum, just like, oh, fuck me, I'm going to beat the shit out of somebody some Tomfas now. I'm going to destroy them like he destroys snare heads and just fucking, wah! I did have a, like, last night, man, I had a, I think the most kills I've had in Warzone is maybe 16 at the most, but I had a round last night where I was rocking the Tomfas. Most of the kills came Tomfa wise. I had fucking 14 kills in a round. We didn't win that round. We did get two wins last night, but not on the round I killed 14. I felt like the kills weren't going to stop. I was just going through, smoke or no smoke, man. I was just running through rooms. Especially, it's great when you run into a small confined area in a room and then you just light people up with melee weapons. But the Tomfas are, I think, like the fastest melee. As holy shit, it is really storming outside now. Good thing we moved that furniture already. Yeah, the wind just... Or is that just wind? I think it's rain. Hopefully not real hard, because I do have another leak in the roof. That's fantastic, you know? As, but, yeah, that's thrown off. It's saying... Nah, my phone... maybe that's just wind. They're saying there is a chance coming up. Couple hours of storm, but it sounded like there for a second. Shit was getting crazy. Getting hectic. Getting wild. Like the urge. Man, it just it's dangerous for me to get that like hardcore invested into like want to get that heavy into like listening to music on YouTube and shit. And because I'll start listening to this shit and I'll be like, I gotta buy more shit. Like listen to Eloy, and I'm like, oh, because I've been thinking for a long time about getting a electric drum set, one that hopefully, you know, the neighbors wouldn't be able to hear much of. But I could just rock the headphones. But because I watch Elvis Estepar Cipriano, I want to get the kit he plays on. That's a $3,500 set. That is a... I can't afford to do that, you know, to just drop $3,500. Well, drop. I would have to... I'd have to finance that fucker. And I really can't afford that at the moment. And I'm still, you know, I still got the guitar fetish going on, which is an expensive fetish to have. I mean, just playing, it's not a big deal because I have all the shit that I need to play guitar. But, you know, there's at least two other guitars right now that I really want to get. And, there's a good chance I'll get at least one of them before too long. As I've almost paid off, I'm just a couple hundred dollars away from paying off my first real Gibson. And I get that paid off, you know, I'll free up some money a little bit, which I should honestly just put into more paying off debt. But, I'm not the wisest person when it comes to finances. I've been known to make a lot of bad decisions, financially speaking. And you know, I still really want that Tony Iommi SG, which is $2,400, which is not quite $1,000 cheaper than my Adam Jones Gibson Les Paul Standard. Not quite $1,000. Although now I think they go for around $3,200. When I got it, it was $3,000. So I mean, right now I think they sell for, you know, almost, you know, like $800 more. It's less than $3,000. Now look at it that way. $2,400. If I did like $100 a month on that, that's 2 years of payments. Theoretically though, if my job, you know, do well with the, if work persists and I keep able to get, bonuses on a consistent basis, I can have it paid off in much shorter period of time. But, you know, really I should be focusing on other debt. The way it is, I usually only play like two different guitars, on a continuous basis, maybe three. I play the acoustic somewhat. That may be a fourth because I have my Epiphone Riviera that I keep in standard. I've been playing a lot of Foo Fighters on that. And then I play, you know, all my drop D shit on my Adam Jones. So all the Tool and a little bit of Foo Fighters on there. And some Soundgarden. There's like two songs that I can think of at the top of my head in Soundgarden that are drop D, Black Hole Sun and Spoon Man. I'd have to go back and listen to Spoon Man though. I don't remember exactly how that's played. Black Hole Sun though, I know good chunks of that. I mean, I can play the acoustic song. I used to know that one all the way through. But there's, you know, like several guitar parts going on in the original recording of that. And, the wah pedal part, I don't know. Definitely don't know that part. But I like the sound. They're using a Univibe where it's up around the 12th fret on one of the guitar parts, and that part sounds pretty great. There's a... I know that part-ish. the main, I guess, rhythm, the Chris Cornell part, I mean, I know fairly well on the original recording. But yeah, that is if I would just win the lottery already, like that would solve this dilemma I have with music. You know, I was thinking, like, what would I really do? You know, I think a lot about, like, if I did somehow win, like, the lottery. Like, the full jackpot. Also, I mean, I would love to just be able to win, like, 20, 30 grand to pay off most of my debt minus my mortgage. Like, pay off, well, that would, 20, 30, if, I mean, if I, after taxes, had, like, 20, 30 grand, that would pretty much pay off my debt. Minus the mortgage. I still owe a lot the mortgage. Last time I looked, it was, fuck, I don't remember. 129,000? I don't know. Something like that. Still a lot. So I'd have to win a fuck ton of money to be able to pay off the mortgage. But if I only had to pay my mortgage payment each month, as far as like paying off debt, holy fuck. That would be amazing. Open up all kinds of doors. But I was thinking, you know, like if I legitimately won like a massive jackpot, I mean, I think I would just get more involved in doing production of, as far as like making YouTube videos, that sort of thing. And like hire some people, you know, get some friends involved. I'm not real fond of just giving people just a ton of money. And also, I feel like if I was just giving out everybody a ton of money, which I want to help out some people, that'd be for sure. If I were to win a massive jackpot, I don't want to be a fucking complete prick. But I'm not going to forget everybody. Just the majority of them. No. I figure, you know, if there was something, if I would be like, hey, you do this, you know, we help out in this, like basically start like the business thing and then pay them very well to get involved with it and, you know, hook them up. As to whereas, I don't know, probably a lot of people would still want to get involved with that. Like, hey, you're paying him. Like, why don't you do that for me? Because the big thing is like when you start giving people lots of money, everybody wants a piece. And I do have a lot of friends and family, like more friends and family, but I know a lot of people, and I figure like it would be a bit of an issue, and like, you know, it's going to be difficult to be like, hey, yeah, I don't want to give you any money, or I'm just going to give you this. And then just, it's also difficult. How do you decide one person over the other? Like, I'm going to help you out by giving you millions of dollars. Where's this other person? Here's I'm going to pay for your dinner. You know, it's difficult. But if I started some kind of like business and stuff and got people involved and helped them out that way and then gave them a piece of that. But again, even if I have millions of dollars, would I be able to create a successful business like on YouTube or stuff? It still seems risky. I don't know. But even if I was doing it at a loss, I mean, I could afford to do it at a loss for some time if I had said jackpot of the Powerball is, I don't know what it is tonight. It's 203 million. I would take the lump sum because I figure a chance I won't live another 20 years or 30 years, whatever the annuity payments are. Like, I don't have any children. What the hell am I dicking around with these yearly installments? So I take $94.6 million. And if I started, you know, if I got a good size house or put a studio in there with everything I need to make some good quality stuff in there, which is going to cost some money. It's going to cost some money. And then I got to worry about taxes, all that sort of thing. On the upkeep, yada, yada, yada. And I would, it would be even 94. Like, I figure even $94 million, I could make some horrible decisions and that money could go like that. I know how I do with money. I mean, I've already been talking about, I just had a new furnace installed. I have yet to make a single payment. I'm not doing that until June. And I'm already talking about, ooh, man, I'm already like, oh, I need to buy these guitars. drum set. The drum set I have not sold myself on. I mean, I'd love to do that. But at the end of the day, I mean, I try to spend, you know, close to an hour each day. But I don't spend even an hour most days, like, playing guitar. There for a while I was really killing it. But, I mean, I touch the guitar every day. I may not play it for hours on end, but I at least get, like, a good 20 minutes or so a day. 20 to 30 minutes. Some days, you know, much longer. Some days I really get into it. Just like, fuck yeah. Ugh. Playing the Pretender. We're doing this. Haven't really played it yet today. I got thrown for a loop a little bit going for the moving stuff. It was just, it was not a planned thing. And they actually, I guess it was a yard sale, garage sale, something of that nature where they had found the furniture for very cheap. And they knew Nikki needed some furniture. And Jackman, of course, acted on it then and there. And so, and it was storming, got a storm today. So we had to act quickly. So that's just kind of what happens. You know, life throws shit at you. You gotta improvise. You gotta be like a jazz musician. You gotta improvise that shit. I don't know. The thought of winning the lottery, clearly I want to do it. I keep playing the fucking lottery. I feel like it'd probably be best if I just didn't win a massive jackpot. I feel like if I won the massive jackpot, like I honestly, it would be difficult. There would be a lot of shit to figure out, you know? I would probably try to hide the fact that I won all this money via the lottery, and I would still want to help people out. It's just, I mean, as much as I've talked about on this podcast, it would be hard to to hide the fact. I mean, I definitely wouldn't lie to the IRS about it, but the people in general, you know, I'm going to say that I would probably keep that on the DL. But if all of a sudden I have a big YouTube channel that has got a lot of production quality going into it, and I've hired several employees and whatnot, I'm just saying there's a strong chance, FYI, that maybe I did. Though maybe I found the money some other way, you know. I've been thinking about this sort of thing for years, and I just went real crazy with me, like, hey, well, you know, they do have been offering me these personal loans for large amounts of money for, like, small businesses. You know, it wouldn't be out of character for me to do something like that. The thought of doing that sounds scary, though. I don't like the amount of debt I have now. Taking out a loan for, like, $100,000 sounds fucking terrible. Especially to do something like, I don't know, a bank. Well, I mean, I have a way to, like, always seem to pay off my fucking debt. Or, well, make the payments. Just continuously make payments. I find a way to make the payments each month. I may not always pay off, like, my credit card and whatnot, but the bank's probably like, you know what? This guy somehow keeps finding a way to make these payments every month. So they probably be like, you know what? Fuck it. Yeah, we'll give you $100,000. Man, the thought of having that large of a personal business loan would, that's just about to give me a coronary. Because that'd be, if I had another $100,000, I mean, we're talking, unless I'm doing like a 30-year loan, like a mortgage, even if I did that, if it was like a 30-year small business loan, I mean, I'm probably looking at least, again, it depends on the interest rates and all that stuff. There's a lot involved there. But I'm probably looking at another mortgage payment each month, and I could not afford that. That is for certain. I mean, the idea behind a small business loan is the fact that you're making money off your small business and you're able to pay it via that. I don't think I'd be able to immediately make money off a YouTube and everything that quickly. It's harder than it looks. as I've made one YouTube video, all of one YouTube video. It's had like, I don't know, 3 or 4 views. And it was not a great video. I don't know why I even keep it out there. I feel like I need to delete that video. I probably, if I ever intend to, you know, be good at it and stuff, I'd have to delete that, make a new video, and go about it a lot differently. As I feel like, you know, given the doing it all myself is where it gets a little screwy, and I'm bad at like managing money. If I didn't mention that enough already, and like make that point, drive that home. Managing a business would be like that when there's that much of a loan taken out. Like with the t-shirt stuff, my investment, I was in the hole quite a few grand, but it wasn't like double digit. Well, it was upwards of like $8,000 or $9,000 I invested in that. But there's a big difference between that and $100,000. That was back when I didn't even have a car payment. So that kind of debt wasn't a big deal at the time. Not a big deal. And I should have worked harder at paying that off then. But I didn't. Here I am. And yeah. So maybe one day I'll create an empire of some kind of production. I don't know what that production would be. Videos of just random shit. Probably people talking like this. Except there would be video. And then audio or video editing, man, that's really time consuming. I'm thinking I would try to hire somebody to do that. As I'm not the greatest at it, which I could probably do a good job if I spent enough time doing it. And really, I don't want to spend the time doing it. It's I mean, it's getting easier. The software they put out there makes it easier and easier. But, and I guess if I did a normal, had a show that was like a real structured thing, beginning, the intro, all that stuff, to where I could just can it to where it's already set up in the program, all I do is inject whatever the new shit is. Probably pretty easy. But at the end of the day, yeah, I don't want to fucking spend all the time editing video. Audio editing, not too bad. It's not too hard to do. Video editing, that's another beast. That is a total other beast. Very time consuming. I mean, you have the audio in there too. The editing I do on here is very minor with the audio editing. I'm not adding in a bunch of different music and what have you. So I'm not getting real crazy with the audio editing either, but audio editing I find is just a lot easier to do than video editing. And I mean, it's so much quicker as opposed to like the video editing. And if you're going to do like high quality video, it takes really long time to render it. And so you don't know, you got to wait for the thing to render before you know if your edit was any good. The rendering times have gotten a lot better, though. It is way easier to do now than, say, like when in 2009 when I was at the broadcast center doing it. It took forever to fucking render shit, and it was just like so saddening if you got the thing rendered and you were like, you know what, that's not good enough. That is not how I wanted that to be. And it's frustrating. It's frustrating. Whereas so, I mean, just immediately with the audio editing, you cut it like a second and then listen back. Oh, we're good. Now, granted, if you're like trimming up music or something, you got to find the right beat and for it to sound right. And you don't want to fuck shit up. But I don't have to do that really ever anymore. I did that a little bit at the broadcast center. But even that, I mean, that's so much easier. I'm doing a lot of video stuff. Man, I know one thing on a completely unrelated note. I have watched, of course it's been out, I guess a couple of weeks now, the trailer for Deadpool and Wolverine, or Wolverine, Deadpool, whatever the fucking name of the title is. I'm pretty excited for that one. That is one I cannot pass up going to the movie theater on. I am stoked. I believe that comes out in July. I think we've got like 2 months yet. And I am ready for that one. I love me some Hugh Jackman. And seeing him as Wolverine is pretty great, even though he's getting pretty old now. I can't wait to see him in the Deadpool. I love the Deadpool, you know? Which I guess Jackman was in the second Deadpool, technically. They had him at the very end of the movie when he's going back in time using that device from Cable. He's using that device to go back in time and, like, fix shit. And he goes back and kills Deadpool from the Wolverine, the first Wolverine movie, which was also played by Ryan Reynolds. But he didn't talk at all. That's crazy that they would ever make a Deadpool where he didn't talk. Deadpool's known for just being just crazy. And then they took his ability to talk. I don't know why they made that decision in that film. That is such a weird decision. Like, why at all would they ever think to do that? And to think, like, many years later, Ryan Reynolds would come back as Deadpool and just, like, the... I'm curious to know, the backstory of how he was originally cast as Deadpool. And I'm assuming he must have been a fan of the comic, of the actual character Deadpool. Or maybe he was just introduced to it when when the first Wolverine movie came out. Jim Liefeld, I believe, is who created Deadpool, the comic book artist slash writer. Anyway, I'm guessing he was a fan of Deadpool previously. And that's how, because I'm pretty sure he was pretty involved in the making of all the Deadpool movies. You know, he's extremely involved. I don't know how much control exactly he has over it, but seems to be his, he loves doing it. And it shows on the film. I should probably look up some interviews with him to see, like, how he ended up taking the original role as Deadpool, and if he grew to love it then, or if he just, like, was just that big of a fan of the comic and whatnot. Interesting thing to learn about. I'll have to look into that in the future. But I guess I'm done here, as I do need to eat dinner. It's already like 3:30 p.m., which is... I usually eat dinner about 4-ish. So I need to, you know, slap this thing together, put the intro on the beginning, yada, 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 and then eat some fucking food. So, yeah, that's it. As always, that is akin to wheelchair, not trash can.